We have officially tweeted.
We have tweeted.
Our first tweet has been twat. Wait, is that not how Twitter works?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Threat Level Podcast, a show where we talk about The Office and a lot of other things. I'm Jamie.
I'm Justin.
I'm Bethany.
I'm Madison.
I'm Subi.
Cool. So for our icebreaker today, we are going to play a little game, and I will leave it to Subi to explain.
Okay, so we can play a game of Would You Rather. They play this game on the Comedy Bang Bang podcasts, and so I'll ask a Would You Rather question, and then I'll open the floor to questions, and then I'll close the floor to questions unexpectedly, like, without warning.
Okay.
Like, you could be in the middle of a sentence.
Just like, what's that show where the woman would be like, like Russian roulette-esque show with the really stern-faced woman?
You are the weakest link?
Yeah, you are the weakest link.
Good. What was it called, though?
The Weakest Link.
Oh, Weakest Link.
Yeah. I was thinking, isn't there a Russian roulette one, too, where the floor just, like, opens up and you drop through?
That would be fun.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Do you remember that game show that was, like, you sit in a chair and you go into a chamber and then they, like, blast fire on you and give you trivia questions?
What the hell?
And then, like, it was canceled.
That sounds like...
This sounds like some North Korea
show.
I love that
game show you were watching, Justin. Yeah.
It was canceled because it was too dangerous, so they brought it back as The Chair. And it was hosted by some tennis player. What was his name? McMahon.
Oh yeah, he's the one who like breaks his racket all the time when he gets mad or something.
Oh yeah.
But it was the same thing, only like they had to make it less dangerous, so it would be like, we brought a lizard. Isn't that so scary?
For some, maybe.
It sounds like Bamboozled or something.
Anyway, so we can continue on to our less dangerous game show.
Okay, so after I close the Florida questions unexpectedly, I'll announce a winner somehow.
We have to give what we would rather do first.
Okay, so here's the question.
Wait. So the floor is open to questions, and we're thinking about what we would rather do, and then you close the floor, and then we say what we would rather do?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I pick a winner somehow.
Okay.
So two of us will be a winner, or are we each getting different questions?
You'll all get the same question.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
We all pick the same thing.
Let's test this out.
No. Okay, so would you rather summon velociraptors anytime you sneeze or be with a partner who posts public reviews of your sexual performances online?
This is assuming we have a partner.
Yes, the floor is open to questions.
I'd be super
fine. Well, you have to ask that. Like, do you automatically get a partner if you choose that option?
Do I?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes. Yes.
how large are the velociraptors?
They're the size of Tyrannosaurus rexes.
Holy
but they're
what?
Still velociraptors.
So they're larger than the average
velociraptor.
Yeah, they're very big velociraptors.
Okay.
So larger than your garden variety. Okay.
Yeah,
like they look mutant velociraptors.
Yeah, they look exactly like Tyrannosaurus rexes, but
are they vicious?
They're very cuddly actually.
Okay, so giant cuddly velociraptors.
Do they disappear after a while, or are they there forever?
Yeah, no, they just hang out.
If you do one of those weird sneezes where you hold it in, does that also summon one, or do you have to let the sneeze out?
That ends up summoning giant cats.
Okay. All right, I can get on board.
But those cats are vicious.
They're
not cuddly at all.
Oh, okay.
Vicious cats. Okay.
Vicious cats and cuddly giant velociraptors.
All right.
What website are the reviews posted to?
That was my question. Yeah.
My next question.
Yahoo Answers.
Oh God. Okay. That's fine.
The most
not like Facebook. Not like status updates.
No. But everyone will know that you can go to Yahoo Answers and be like, "How is Madison?" in bed. Oh God.
Are we like? Do we become famous?
Can't go there and find that out.
How is Subi in bed? I'll turn it on myself. How is Subi in bed?
I wouldn't know. What is your? I guess I would if I had Yahoo Answers.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your question, Justin?
Are we like famous? Like do people know that this is being posted to Yahoo Answers?
And why do people care?
Or is it just our friends who would look?
Oh no, it'll be just your sexual it'll be reviews of just your sexual performances, but everyone in the world would know.
So is it something that it would just be like everyone in the world is in this scenario where everyone
No, just you.
Just you, okay. But everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Okay. America. I think
do people watch
that show? You haven't closed the floor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't. If you answer before I close the floor to questions, you are disqualified.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you cut a close game there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think I have any other questions anymore.
So, when the velociraptors are hanging out,
yes.
do they like eat your food?
Yeah, they're like, they kind of turn into a roving gang.
Will they touch my junior mints?
Would they Lego my ego?
Yes to both of them.
Just giant, cuddly velociraptors who are roaming around, occasionally stealing people's food.
Yes.
Okay.
I think my answer is done.
Am I going to be like in trouble with like animal control at some point, or do I get like a permit?
Well.
Do you have to house them afterwards?
Animal control might try to get in your way, but then you'll just, you'll put some pepper up to your nose and just threaten them and they'll back off.
Yeah, but then like, they just come out hanging out and cuddling and stuff, and animal control will be like...
But they'll defend you if anyone threatens you.
These things seriously cuddle you?
Yes.
And they don't
crush scales.
You.
How is this a hard would you rather then? Because...
the floor is closed to questions.
Okay.
Wait. Okay.
I am going to go.
This wasn't even hard.
I am going to obviously choose sneezing every time. Summoning a velociraptor every time I sneeze. I don't sneeze that often.
I think you sneeze probably more than you imagine you sneeze.
I mean, I sneeze, whatever. It's fine. They cuddle. We'll be great. And
but
if they start to kill... If they start to kill people, well, then we could use less people in the world,
I mean,
if you ask me.
This is true.
Pittsburgh will be easier to drive in.
But for the rest of your life, every time you sneeze, you're going to have another...
Friend.
Wasn't it phrased as like a multiple velociraptor?
Yes.
Velociraptors.
So it's not just one, it's
do
multiple.
Do I summon them in the room
so like
that I'm sitting in, though, or do
like
I summon them throughout the world?
The floor is closed to questions.
The floor is closed to questions.
See, these are
the
You're disqualified.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm out.
If
I didn't know that was a rule. Wait a minute. You can't just pull rules.
House rules.
Ouch, your anus. I picked the velociraptor.
Okay.
I would rather become famous by acquiring a large amount of velociraptor friends than the other way.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the summoning the velociraptors anytime I sneeze as well. I feel like they could come in handy occasionally.
I don't think so.
To have a giant monster nearby. I feel like I'd be pretty safe walking down the street with a herd of velociraptors.
And they're cuddly.
That would be loyal to protect me while I'm walking around.
See, and dinosaurs actually had feathers, so... They're super cuddly.
See, yeah, maybe I could fly.
I think this is irresponsible, so I would... rather have my sexual escapades posted, because if you sneeze, like for example, if you're having a particularly allergy filled day, you could sneeze like 16 times and then you have like 3,000 velociraptors around you, and then you're like, well, I can't feed these all of these, so then they're gonna die of hunger. And you can
and
cuddle
then
in their corpses.
Well, I guess I don't have to walk home anymore because I can just crowd surf on all of these velociraptors.
I don't know, I think it's a bit much. Plus, like, people kind of sensationalize sex things for a while, and then after a time, people are like, ugh, I can't be bothered, so,
Well, people would probably get bored of the velociraptors after a while.
You would just become a Kardashian, like...
Well, I mean, whatever.
They're really rich. Pay off those student loans real quick.
I guess you would also, it'd also encourage you to get better at your technique, wouldn't it?
That's true.
And if you're bad at it, then it's a bonus of everybody leaving you the F alone. Bye!
That's true.
You'd also it's easier to weed out the people who are in it for the wrong reasons.
This is true as well.
Bethany, are you changing your answer here?
Oh no, I still like the Velociraptors.
Interesting question. Okay.
All right, who's the winner then?
Bethany.
Thanks. I deserved it. A well-deserved win.
Well-deserved win, Bethany. It wasn't random.
I can tell.
Very nice. Do we have another question, or was that our only one?
There are lots of other ones, but...
But how many do we want to ask?
Let's do one more.
One
more quick one.
You want to referee this one?
All right, I will referee this one.
Let the floor be open for a shorter amount of time, maybe.
Yeah.
I can make no promises to that.
Okay. What's the question?
All right. I found one that I like.
Okay.
No, actually, you know, I don't like that one. We're just going to have to edit all this out.
Madison, can you edit this out, please?
All right. No, I got it. Wait.
Oh, never mind.
Psych. Would you rather... That. Play Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy IX.
But I'm moderating it, so I can't ask myself questions.
Well, we'll ask you questions.
All right,
seven.
The answer would obviously be
would, all right. Would you rather always know the worst thing about someone upon first meeting them, or have your emotions constantly summarized by a child?
That's so random.
What?
The floor is open to questions.
Can you give us an example of a child summarizing your emotion?
An example of it?
Like, are they declaring? Do I always have children following me? Like,
Bethany is
sad. You would have, like, a small crew of children of multiple genders and races following you around, and they would basically dictate your life from a child's point of view on how they saw you to be acting in situations.
Do we have to
Why would anybody
this
pick
children?
This over the other one?
What was your shame?
Do we need to take care of these children?
No, you're not responsible for their well-being.
And what
was
the other option?
Be very mean.
Okay, all three of you are asking a question at the same time.
Is anyone responsible for their well-being?
They have families. They go home when you're sleeping.
Okay, well, that's good.
That sounds like child slavery to me.
That is a bit child slavery. What was the other option?
The other option was, would you rather always know the worst thing about someone upon first meeting them?
It'd be easy to spot a killer and get out right away.
That's true.
Easy
to get out of a shit relationship, too.
Sure.
Yeah, but, like, impossible to get into any other relationship.
Yeah.
Not if the worst thing isn't that bad.
Right.
You'd be able
what
to
if the worst
the
thing isn't that bad, and then they like start complaining about stuff, and you're like, what do you even know?
Wait, so just the complaining is what?
Yeah. What if they back talk you, and you have to
give them the pimp hand?
Backhand them.
All right.
Promptly show
well,
them the pimp hand.
This seems to be coming to a conclusion. So the floor is closed. The questioning. Please provide me with your answers.
I would definitely go with knowing the worst thing about someone upon first meeting them. Because then you're just like, well, I'll have you out of my life.
So long.
So long. Just, yep. Real, real simple.
All right.
I don't think that my worldview would be able to withstand knowing the worst thing about somebody at all times. And I also think that would give me a really convenient excuse to not get to know anything about anyone. And so as an optimistic and a hopeful answer, I'm going to go with
you're going to choose the child slaves.
The orphan army that, that is obsessed with how I feel about everything. And maybe I'll learn a little something new about myself through the sage eyes of a child.
Maybe.
Definitely going to pick the first one. Maybe it'll give me an opportunity to talk to them about it and see how if they feel any remorse, and then we move on.
Yeah. I'm going to
I forgive you, I would say.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with that too. I would also choose knowing the worst thing about someone. Yeah.
All right. That was everybody, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Who won?
I am going to make Justin the winner of this round.
Thank you very much. I think I was a clear winner. Thank you. I'll send you guys a postcard from the top.
I liked your reasoning of your answer the best.
It was good. Solid. Cool. Well, that was an interesting endeavor. Revealed many things about us, I think.
You're welcome, audience.
Yeah. Thanks for sending in those questions, audience. Oh, wait.
If you have fair, any more questions, email, tweet them at TL_PCast.
Thank you. Or send us an email at threatlevelpodcast@gmail.com.
We have officially tweeted.
We have tweeted.
Yes. Our first tweet has been twat.
Kind of the twat has been done. the tweet has been
Wait,
twat.
Is that not how Twitter works?
oh, we have someone else who'd like to track on SoundCloud as well. Thanks for... shout out to Lori for liking something.
Hey, Lori.
Anyway, so that brings us to our episode that we'll be discussing today, which is season 2, episode 5, Halloween.
Halloween.
And this aired originally on October 18th, not the 31st, 2005. And we have this lovely description from Netflix. So as he watches his employees prepare for the office annual Halloween party, Michael agonizes over which of them he'll fire. If you sensed those pauses, it's because I really couldn't read what I wrote. But that's fine.
I'm honestly surprised at how bad your handwriting is, Jamie.
That is really mean to just like, outright it's not even say like, to someone.
It's not even like bad handwriting. Okay, clarify to the listeners if we keep this in. Jamie does not have bad handwriting, but as somebody who writes for like hours, I just thought it would be.
Does he write for hours?
Can I tell you that I do not write for hours? I type for hours.
Seeing as though you're a man with a feather pen writing by moonlight all hours of the night.
That was me in high school, thank you much.
I do really like the effort that you put into making your letters look like stylistic letters, though.
It's a good effort.
I really... No. Okay, that did come out wrong. That definitely came out
just
wrong.
It's just how it is.
No, something that I really enjoy doing is, like, taking a letter and, like, saying, like, okay, now every time I write a T, I'm going to write it a different way. Like, I'm not a different way. I'm going to write it differently than how I'm writing it right now. Mm. And then working to do that. And Jamie does that. Bethany has, like, her face in her palm.
Bethany's embarrassed for my sake. It's fine. My handwriting's atrocious.
So is Justin's, to be honest.
No, my handwriting is awful. Yes, I am not like...
Anyway, so we begin back to the subject of downsizing on the
office. Yeah, back to downsizing.
Back to downsizing.
And so we open right away with Michael needing to make this decision. We have a call from the one and only Jan Levinson.
Gould. Happy Halloween, Jan call.
Well, it's not from Jan. It's like from her assistant. Oh no. Sorry. You're
no,
right.
No, that's
right.
When he calls
Yeah,
her.
Jan called. Yeah. So Michael goes in, he calls her back, and her assistant picks up, and they need to know the name. Who's he going to fire? Does Michael know? Of course not.
This is the fulfillment of a storyline that has been going on since episode 1 of The Office.
I like how he tries to play it off as though he does have the name. He just there's a logical reason behind why he can't tell her the name.
It's said in the book. Wait to the end.
Yeah. I feel like I do that all the time in my whole life. Like just try to make up reasons that you think are valid.
Oh my gosh. I was just talking to this lady. Like so if we like have to send out patient information through emails, we have to send it through this system called UP or I'm not about to say who I work for on a podcast. Edit that out, Madison.
As if they're gonna stalk you.
So if we send out patient information, we have to send it out through this secure system, and then like the person who receives it has to register for it, and it takes like 10 seconds to register. It's the same as registering for anything else. And so I'm talking to this guidance counselor at this high school, and I'm like, just want to say I'm sorry for having to make you do this, but anytime we send it out, we have to do it through this system. And she emails me back and she's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'll see you Monday.
What?
I'm not going to do what?
Register for it. She was like, yeah, no, I'm... No.
In her defense...
Just bring the list with you on Monday.
In her defense, it's a total pain in the ass. Because I mean, we do that through IU
okay,
as well.
Okay, but you're getting paid. It's not like you're doing it for free when you go home.
Right.
What else are you going to do with your life?
I don't know.
Counsel kids.
But yeah, so...
Anyway.
So then...
I was saying that because it was like, normally you would say it like in a polite way. Like, normally you'd be like, oh, yeah, I just think it would be easier if you brought it with you on Monday.
Oh, right. But she's just like, no, not
that. She's like, I am not going to do what you just said.
How did this tie in with...
Well, this is very much the attitude that Sherry has. She's like, I'm not taking your shit. Yeah. She's like, I'm sorry, that was going to be one of my questions, too.
Oh, that's right.
No.
she was like, I kind of just need the name, you know? And I love, too, at the end of that bit, when he's like, ugh, wish I could fire Sherry. Hey, I'm still here.
He gets himself in trouble on the phone. I do enjoy those jokes. I love how he says he's just, like, kind of lamenting over the fact that he has to fire somebody, and then he mumbles, and somehow I'm supposed to put on a costume and smile, as if the weight of the world is on his shoulders. Right. As if anybody even cares if he dresses up or not.
Seriously. Just the weight of the classic Mike. Paper mache Michael is on his shoulders.
Jiggling around.
Yeah, that whole scene is ridiculous. But anyway, that's the end of the cold open. And then, yeah, so then when we come back, Michael's got the puppet on there, and Pam comes in, and... Oh my god. So this starts the whole process of Michael trying to get someone else to decide who's going to be fired. And the whole conversation with Pam is just funny. I just answer the phone. And sometimes you just let it go to voicemail.
That might be my favorite scene of the episode, like when she starts trying to keep her job.
Right.
Like, the faces Michael is making when he's like being two heads. How does one be two heads?
Can we just pay homage to the little scene where he asks where the Halloween decorations went, and it cuts to the custodians vacuuming them up?
Why does the documentary crew even have footage of, like, the after hours? Right.
Thing? Well, I like that they do, and they said nothing to the person vacuuming up the cobwebs.
They were probably laughing about it.
They were there when they were decorating with them, most likely.
Right. So. Do you think that the guy vacuuming up the cobwebs thought that somehow actual cobwebs had formed?
Yes. I really did.
It's like, wow, got a vacuum.
And he had, like, a super old vacuum. Like, it was, like, a really old stainless steel vacuum.
Oh, I love it. It's so funny.
Oh, man. So people are all dressed up then. We have Michael with his talking head on his shoulder. And then Dwight dressed as a Sith Lord. Of course.
Jealous of Jim's
three-hole punch.
Three-hole punch.
Yes. Very cheap costume that did not cost, what, $2,200?
$124 or whatever.
$2,100.
All the number dollars. I just love too that...
So many dollars.
I just love that when Phyllis turns around, she's like, what are you?
Ass.
Yeah, well, that too. But she's just like, what are you, a monk?
A monk?
Yeah, right. Like, somebody could grow up, or somebody could have existed in the 70s and not known a Star Wars, like a clear Star Wars character.
Yeah, that's true.
Sorry, Phyllis.
He does have a freaking lightsaber, after all.
It's true.
Yeah, so I guess we won't talk too much about the other costumes, just in case. I feel like that might... Is that someone's trivia question?
Yeah.
Could be.
Okay,
oh, yes.
So it's not...
It's not mine, but I agree with that strategy.
Although, since we already mentioned the whole three-hole punch thing, there is a very nice scene where, for some reason, Dwight's at Pam's desk, too. Which is very strange. And he's like, three-hole punch! And, and that kind of sparks our B-plot, which is Jim and Pam trying to find Dwight a new job, basically. In, like, the most nice way? Because they're very much like, how can we make Dwight sound like...
Right, they want him to get another job, so they're trying to be as nice as possible.
Right, they're like, what can we say to make Dwight the best candidate ever?
They forgot a few things, though.
They did, and then he has to fax it to them later.
Dwight is asked to make the decision. Once again, responsibility is put on Dwight's shoulders. First with healthcare, and now with firing someone.
And like, I said this the first time we watched it. I'm like, how is Kevin not the obvious decision? Right. Like, he's so... I can't imagine he does much work. Like, he's not super bright. Well, and no. Then you find out later that the accounting department has an extra person in anyway. So it's like, how is Kevin not the obvious candidate
right.
to get
because
kicked out?
Accounting is making it seem they're fudging the numbers to make it seem that they need three people.
Right, but they could easily say they need two and then drop.
Did Michael ask Dwight to choose, or did he choose Stanley and send Dwight out to tell Stanley?
Well,
I think the second.
I think he implied Stanley.
Okay.
Because he said, "No, I never said that."
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So he
but
never
when Michael initially asks Dwight, he just lists all of the people in the office. It's like. Jim.
Including Angela.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, no, he does.
Yeah, he goes out and, well, he tries to fire Stanley, which does not work for
Stanley
him.
Stanley finds hilarious.
It's hilarious how Stanley says to the, when he says,
I know.
Because I've never heard Stanley, like, even pay attention to Dwight's title.
Right. That was a good one. And then Stanley also gives us what I feel like must be a Donald Trump impression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Yuck.
Yeah. Moving on.
Had they only known.
Had they only known. So it definitely doesn't work, much to Michael's dismay. Okay, so Cumberland Mills eventually contacts Jim for a recommendation as Michael
Scott.
Well,
they contact Michael. Yeah, Michael Scott.
And that thing's kind of funny, too, because we have Michael or Jim actually doing very classic Michael Scott things.
Which is weird because the Cumberland Mills doesn't know Michael Scott. They're not, like, expecting him.
I was thinking the same way. Like, if he didn't say orifice, the jig would be up.
Well, like, if they ever, like, sent the suits down to come and investigate.
There you go.
I don't think that was really
Paper
Michael Scott.
Paper companies do tend to do that.
You never know.
What's your nickname for office? Just making sure it's really you.
So then Cumberland Mills contacts Dwight, and we find out that Dwight's, all of his information is not updated on that resume that was sent out. So he decides to fax over his martial arts training to supplement.
Which turns out does not apply to the paper company job.
And that does not sit well with Dwight.
No.
Which is my favorite quote of the entire But I'll save that for the end.
There you go.
Just a little taste.
So basically, the whole conversation, yeah. So Cumberland Mills calls Dwight back and they kind of argue. And at the end, Dwight's still kind of like, so when can I expect to hear about the position?
And then he goes in to tell Michael. That might be the funniest scene of the
He's
episode.
Like, this is what you call leveraging an offer.
Yeah. Yeah. So he decides to tell Michael that he has been offered a job with higher pay, a better title, and all this stuff. And what is Michael's reaction?
He's, like, thrilled. Because he doesn't have to fire somebody.
Yeah. And he gets rid of Dwight.
Yeah, he's so elated.
Dwight's face, though, when he's... It's so embarrassed in front of the camera
going.
Crew. Yeah.
But it's in Maryland. Yeah, so then Dwight's kind of like, yeah, they never offered me. And Michael's very upset that Dwight's ruining his life. So then after that, Pam tells Jim that he should actually think about doing the job, which kind of puts a rift between their
It's a little weird. I don't know, Jim is kind of being a baby. Like, I get that your feelings are hurt and stuff, but he definitely kind of overplays it.
And I don't really even understand entirely why his feelings are hurt. Like, she's complimenting him. She's saying you would do better at this job. She's not saying I want you to leave and don't want you around.
Right. She just
wants
no,
but she's
to, like,
saying
make...
that it's more of like a, we don't have it. There's no chance of us happening because, like,
yeah.
It's okay if
yeah.
you move away. Like,
yeah.
I'll be fine with that.
That's definitely the perception that Jim has of that. But I feel like
I would have the same reaction.
I mean, true, very true. But Pam, in that moment, isn't thinking that. I don't think she's just
right.
kind of like, because she said a number of times, like, Jim gets really excited and he's great, but too bad he works here because he can't do anything. You know,
right?
Yeah.
So like, she's trying to like find him something that would better suit his interests, maybe, and that he'd excel at. But yeah, of course, that also implies, well, there's no use staying in Scranton because I'm marrying this douchebag, maybe.
Yeah.
We haven't seen in a while, which is surprising.
Yeah, I think the last time we saw him was when he was
fire safety or not
with
fire
Pam's
safety,
mom.
Fire.
Yeah. Oh no, he was in the fire episode. The fire. Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah.
He was in the fire safety episode. That wasn't that long ago.
No,
might be a long time ago by the time we edit these podcasts.
Yeah, I'll be able to edit soon. I'm sorry.
Speaking of that, I apologize in advance. It's pouring rain here, and there's a lot of feedback on our audio.
You're so lucky.
I closed my door because I was getting some outside sounds in here.
Yeah, we have our doors and windows closed, and it's just raining really hard.
Well, that's why don't you close your shutters?
Ah!
I recorded the first episode of this podcast in a blanket.
Yeah. Wrap that blanket around you post haste.
And how did that turn out for you?
That was awful.
You picked up everyone's audio.
Turned out completely awful.
All right. So,
so Jim gets called into Michael's office.
Oh my god. Well, yeah. So Jim is kind of like. What is he saying about Michael? Just that he like can't make his mind up clearly and stuff during the talking head.
Yeah,
just that he will fire somebody on a whim.
Oh yeah. And then of course Michael's in the doorway with the best look on ever.
But I don't think it was just it's like on a whim when he's like he'll procrastinate until the very end and then do whatever small thing he has to get it done.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like do we think that Michael heard what Jim was saying when he was talking to the camera crew?
I don't know.
No.
I really don't think so.
No, it makes it makes it look like he did, but I think he was just, that's just his upset, I need to fire someone, help me please face.
Yeah. His desperate expression.
Just pure desperation.
Yeah, but turns out he just wants advice.
Of course.
The best scene in the entire episode, in my opinion, is when Jim walks into Michael's office and closes the door, and Dwight just puts his hood up and like draws his finger across his throat.
And Pam's so real concerned.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so then they're in the office and we find out that Michael wants Jim to act as though he's firing him so he can kind of get a feel of how someone will react or how one should fire another person.
And oddly enough, that is exactly how Michael Scott would act if somebody fired him. Like, he overreacts, but that is how he would...
I'm gonna kill myself.
Yeah. Maybe he's having such a hard time with the decision because he's, like, imagining how he would feel if he was fired.
Probably.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
I do like that when they switch spots and Jim's in the desk, the first thing he does is, like, slide the tissue box over. Like, gotta tell you something.
I like the bit where he answers the phone pretending to be Michael Scott and is like I have to take this Creed. Oh yeah, so I guess we didn't mention that Creed is then
on the chopping block.
On the chopping block.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Nice.
So then they call in Creed then, right?
Which I think
is
okay.
It was Dracula.
It was Dracula.
I thought they were firing Dracula.
This is not yet the episode where Creed clearly murdered someone and came to work.
Oh, that's very funny, yeah. I think Creed would have been, at this point in the series, a good choice. We haven't heard much about him, but clearly the one that does get chosen is the best choice.
Yes. They could have avoided a real crisis later on if they did fire Creed.
Oh, right, the watermark, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Creed gets called in. And immediately starts basically telling Michael that he cannot fire him and that he should fire Devin.
Creed is so good at this situation. Like, at the end of it, Michael hasn't even said, like, you're not fired yet. But Creed is just, like, being like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you for giving me my life savior. Back.
Undo it, Michael. Undo it.
You guess you can. Like, even when the camera's outside, like, panning around the office, you can change it. Yes.
And everyone can clearly hear this, like, shouting from the room. So then, of course, Devin's called in. Hobo Devin's called in. And,
It's funny, because he's jobless at the end.
Yeah. Oh, was he?
Foreshadowing.
I thought he was Tom Waits.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I mean, maybe.
I don't think so. I think he's just a hobo.
Tom Waits in Wrist Cutters. As the angel. So, interesting, like, Devin basically does the same thing as Creed, and kind of starts to kind of, you know, convince Michael, but then Michael's actually puts his foot down. He's like, no, I can't do this.
Because I'll look bad.
Yeah, I look bad.
That's why you're firing me?
And so, yeah, Devin's fired, and Michael tries to compensate for his firing.
What kind of coupon does he give him?
A gift certificate to Chili's.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I missed what it was. Oh, that's hilarious. Devin promptly rips it up.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chili's has like a deal with the office, they but do. I love how much they bring up Chili's.
They definitely have to, yeah. Hilarious. So yeah, and then they all go to the bar.
And then they all go to the bar. That's about it, right?
No, it's not it. The very saddest, the most sad scene.
Oh, you mean when Devin smashes a pumpkin all over the car?
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Or when Michael's picking up the fragments of ripped...
Oh, and then he goes home all by himself sits and watches TV and then answers the door for the trick-or-treaters.
Oh, it's the saddest bit.
He makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Somebody be his friend.
But he's still got his condo, so that's good.
<I guess. laughs> Hasn't lost that yet.
With the thin walls and the carpenter ants.
Yeah. I guess we should also say that somewhere in there, there's still tension between Jim and Pam, but then by the end they're back on speaking terms.
Yeah. Pam apologizes and says that like if he were gone she would blow her brains out. Which and then like Jim just totally comes back around. You were kind of playing it up, Jim.
Yeah, he like gets over it really quickly. Yeah.
I don't think your feelings were hurt as much as you were saying, so much as you wanted to make Pam feel bad.
And get your ego stroked a little.
Yeah.
Could be.
Oh, Jim, you're so great.
Justin really likes Jim. That's his favorite character on The Office.
So my question, a question I have that's not a trivia question, but before we end and move on, we have all these costumes. My question is, was Toby dressed as the Scranton Strangler? Did he go out and strangle
Toby
people
after
this? Toby
said the same thing. No.
I thought he was just in a green trench coat. I thought he might have been dressed as Chad Flenderman or like the character he plays, like a gumshoe detective.
Maybe. So. He looked very much like some guy you'd meet in a back alley and then would murder you. So I was like, is this his first outing as the Scranton Strangler?
I think I'd like to go as a Scranton Strangler for Halloween. Easy costume.
Just strangle
people. Speaking of outing, was Oscar like a specific woman or just a woman?
Just a woman, I think.
Yeah, because I was asking if he was like a character, because it looked, I don't know. He looked like a... He looked like the gym teacher from Recess or something. Or not the gym teacher. She's just a teacher who, like...
I think she's the principal.
She's, like, the... She's just... Yeah, she's the principal, right?
Yeah. But they... Yeah. No, they didn't specify. But, of course, Michael has to act really... awkward about that, too. Showing your true colors.
Which is just a weird thing to say, because, right. He gives no indication that he's gay up until this point.
Right. Right. Well, that... And I don't know that, you know... Being gay implies that you need to wear women's clothing either.
Sure, that too, but that goes without saying, hopefully.
And also, Kelly dresses up as Dorothy, and in the past, gay men were sometimes referred to as friends of Dorothy, because the actress who played Dorothy, I think she was very gay friendly.
Mm-hmm. Her mother was, at least. Liza Minnelli was her mother, right?
No, it's her daughter. Judy Garland.
Judy Garland's her daughter, right?
Yeah, no, Judy Garland is Liza's mother.
Oh. Right, that's right. Okay, duh. Because one died a long time ago.
But yeah, so...
Also offensive, Michael suggests Kelly should...
Oh, he's so racist!
As if that... Yeah, that's quite clear.
I mean, yeah. He has been racist since episode one, since Diversity Day.
Give Kelly a break.
She should have slapped him again as she did that.
I know. She actually took it really well.
Yeah.
I don't play soccer. Well, I don't have two heads.
She's just used to it by now.
You see a little bit of the iconic Kelly in this one. You know, she's coming into being Kelly.
Right.
Yeah.
And that could be why she didn't react as openly upset about it, because. At this point, I think Kelly would just take that as oh, yeah, I don't play soccer. Not wow, this is an attack on me, on my race or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so...
That's the episode.
That is the episode Halloween. What'd you guys hear about the water cooler?
I heard Dwight talking on the phone. presumably talking to a professional, but then the conversation turned really quickly. He mentioned martial arts, got really upset, and then said, "You know what? You can go to hell too, and I'll see you there, burning."
Yeah.
But then it was weird because he said, "So you'll let me know when you made a decision," and he went really like quickly back to being professional and nice. I was confused.
It's a strange thing to hear at the water cooler.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thirsty. I didn't imagine.
I'm surprised you heard it from all the way over at the water cooler. When Dwight was sitting at his desk, which is very far from the water cooler.
Were you dropping eaves, Bethany?
I actually was. I bought this thing where have you ever seen that infomercial?
Did that come with the Sonic ear?
I bought the Sonic ear, and it works great for a water cooler eavesdropping.
Did that come with your 1990s button you just ordered?
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness.
Buy one, get one.
So my thing that I heard was a nice citation from Michael Scott, if you will. He said, "Yeah, I went hunting once. Shot the deer in the leg. Had to kill it with a shovel. Took about an hour. Why do you ask?"
It's weird that you heard that with the door closed. Do you also have the Sonic ear?
I do.
Because for $25.99, you get not one, but two pairs of the Sonic ears.
There you go. You need one one free tier.
You and your spouse can creep on your neighbors.
There you go. You and your spouse can inadvertently creep on each other as well.
Okay. Buy the Sonic ear. This episode of the podcast is not brought to you by Sonic ear. We're not sponsored at all.
Well, but they can Sonic hear ear, us. If you're they listening, know. Hit us up.
Yeah, and they thanks, are. Sonic ear.
They are.
Okay.
Did you guys hear anything else over by that water cooler?
Speaking of beating a dead deer. Yeah.
Let's tangent.
All right.
Other quotes.
I heard several things around the water cooler. Ooh, pray tell. Actually.
Anything juicy?
I heard Angela say, "I'm just trying to figure out why you're sabotaging things." I heard Dwight say, "I'm going wherever they value loyalty the most."
Yeah.
I heard Michael say when he's talking to Creed, "No, of course you can't go. We haven't even started this horrible process." Yeah. And I mentioned earlier that I heard Phyllis say ass, which was funny.
Yeah.
But my favorite wasn't even words. Okay. It was just the noise that Creed makes right before he leaves Michael's office.
Oh my
and
god,
it's
the
like,
Hannibal Lecter.
It's like, yeah. Ah! It's like this weird, creepy noise, and then he leaves.
Yeah, very, very Hannibal Lecter-like.
Madison was parched today.
Yeah, really.
I was.
Madison, that's why when I went to the water cooler, I couldn't hear anything, because it was empty, and I just had to go back to my desk.
Justin didn't hear anything at the water cooler.
Oh, it was my fault. I heard it all.
I heard Jim quote Shaggy. He said, "It wasn't me." So we're still stuck with
the
that
words
poem.
Of the great Shaggy.
Yeah.
Wasn't me. Caught you on the camera.
Awful, awful, awful. Oh, no.
Yeah, so we overheard some very interesting things over at the water cooler.
Interesting indeed.
That brings us over to some Dundees, yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Have you guys some Dundees to hand out?
I think we do.
All right, who's going to go first? Not me, because I don't have one yet.
I will give a Poor Richard's Beer on Me Dundee to Devin, because no hard feelings.
Nice.
I'm going to give the most fashionable Dundee to Oscar, because he really rocked that dress.
There you go.
I did not... Can anyone explain to me the scene with him coming out of the bathroom and Ryan...
Yeah!
Oh, the dress was tucked in his underwear, probably, no?
Yeah, and I think the...
Madison actually knows why.
Well, I mean, I assume why, like, what the funny implication was that he was probably taking a shit. And, like, otherwise he wouldn't have had it be tucked up in the back, you know? Like, it was tucked up in the back because he was sitting down. Like, I can't think of any other reason why they would have pointed that out.
So when he pulled up his underpants, his dress was stuck in it.
He's just not used to wearing a dress. He doesn't know what to do when you're pulling your tights up. That does not happen.
when you're used to wearing a dress.
Yes.
You don't get your underwear tucked into your dress because that would be very surely noticeable.
Very drafty.
Just a bit. Maybe he couldn't feel the draft in the office, though.
Anybody else?
I'll give a Stand By Me Dundee to Michael Secondhead for always being by his side.
There you go.
Madison came up with that one, so all nice. Credit to her.
Kudos, nice. Madison.
Good job, Madison.
Nah. Anybody else?
Jimmy Dam.
I am going to give the wow, you have a very dry sense of humor and are not terribly interesting, Dundee, to Sherry.
You're giving me a Dundee?
No, to Sherry. Who had to overhear Michael wishing he could fire her. That's it. Okay. Did everyone give one?
Justin?
No. I think we all gave one.
I don't think Justin gave one. Do you not have a Dundee to give out? Are you being stingy with your Dundees?
I'm keeping all my Dundees because Jamie didn't give me his.
You can have mine.
I'm going to give a... what do you call it when you take bad news well?
The taking bad news well, Dundee.
I'm going to give the taking bad news well, Dundee, to Michael's second head. For when he takes off the second head and puts it on the bookshelf, and he's still pretty happy about everything.
This reminds me that we forgot to mention the whole bit where Michael is talking to his head, to the second head,
yeah.
And when he's trying to fire Dwight.
Telling him who to fire.
Quiet, you!
Dwight doesn't even skip a beat. He just like acts as if the head is complete animate being.
That's why they are destined to be best friends.
That's true. All right. Right. That brings us to some trivia.
Yeah, I do. I have two trivia questions. The first one is, what is the name of the person who Dwight faxes his resume to?
Charles Weed.
Yep.
Oh, nice! definitely, you paused it there, too.
I paused it. I wanted to try to read the resume, but I couldn't.
We paused it, and Bethany was like, oh, is that your trivia question? And I was like, no, I don't do that. But somebody's going to ask it. Yeah,
somebody did ask it. And my second one is not specifically about this episode, but it's about the opener to all of the episodes. Okay. In the second shot, it shows like cars driving down a street, and there's a street sign over the street. What is the name of the street?
Mulberry.
Yes.
What? Mulberry Lane.
We go to Scranton. Man. We go to Scranton a lot, and I try to look for that street a lot. And like we try to look for the actual shot of it. It's we are very vanilla people. Anyway.
That was my questions.
I'm going to go next. I am just going to have two questions, it looks like. Okay. What does Pam assume Angela hands out on Halloween?
Toothbrushes.
Walnuts. Oh.
Yeah. Walnuts, yeah. Toothbrushes. Pennies.
Isn't it toothbrushes, pennies, yes. And wallets? Is it wallets or walnuts?
Walnuts. It's walnuts.
Oh, it sounds like wallets.
Like wallets just stuffed with
that would
cash.
Be a good thing to hand out for a kid. Yes, it is toothbrushes, pennies, and walnuts. And my next question is, who doesn't Devin invite to Poor Richard's?
Oh, that was one of my
Michael and Creed. And Angela.
And Dwight.
And Dwight.
And Dwight.
Wow. Very good.
That was really fast.
That was quick. And that's
it. I think
it
took longer to, like, figure out who it was, like, for the question than you guys answering.
I know, I had to play that bit twice to kind of, like, list who he's not, you know, who he didn't invite.
Was that your trivia question? Or
that was
just
one
like...
of mine, but that's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good. I tried to mark a couple out. Okay, I'll go next. We talked about this and hopped around the price a little bit, but how much did Dwight spend on his lightsaber?
$129.
Nice.
I was hoping that nobody else had that because it sounded like nobody was going to ask, like nobody knew the answer.
Yeah. I definitely wrote down $2,100. Why would I do that?
I don't know. I was going to ask you, like, who was that?
Let's see. My next question will be, on Jim's desk, there is a mug. What is on the mug?
A skull.
Nope.
Is it Jim's face?
No. Jim's own face.
Is it Andy's face?
That'd be a foreshadowing.
That's my mug.
Nope.
I don't know.
Did anyone notice what color it was?
I didn't even notice a mug.
Notice there was a mug. Oh.
It's actually just a white blank mug.
So you're a jerk.
Oh, a trick question, eh?
Speaking of things on desks, what is the decoration, the spooky decoration on Dwight's desk?
A married skeleton couple or something?
It is a married skeleton couple.
Nice. Do you have any more?
Yeah, the lightsaber cost.
Ah. I have some questions.
Okay.
How is a paper mache spelled? This is all you, Jamie.
P-A-P-I-E-R hyphen M-A-C-H-E.
Yep.
And what are the
What about the accents?
Of the accents.
L'accent aigu.
Over the A and the E.
Over the A, there's an accent circonflexe, and then on the E, there's an accent aigu.
Nice. Okay, so at the end of the episode, you see the security guard. What is the security guard's name?
Oh.
We learned his name in a later episode.
Yeah.
Hank. His name is Hank.
Hank.
Yep. And so in a later episode, everyone in the office, they're like locked into the parking lot. And like only one character remembers the security guard's name. Who is that character?
Creed.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Because he can never remember anyone else's name.
He can barely remember what he does.
He can't even remember what he does. Quabbity, quabbity, quabbity Auschwitz.
My question was, was Devin supposed to be the other quality assurance guy? Because if not, then he
does sit in the same area.
They do.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
I was going to say, because if not, then he's just firing people who are their own department, which is problematic.
Right.
Wait, he said, like, Devin invites Meredith, but we haven't seen Meredith all episode long.
She was in there, wasn't she?
Was she?
She's like floating in the background.
Yeah. What was she dressed up as?
Nothing.
I can't remember.
A hoe bag?
I think you guys are Mandela affecting it.
I thought she had black, like a black wig on or something.
Hmm. Maybe that's why. She had like
a fake brain on her.
Did
head.
She?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I feel like I did see that.
We're Mandela affecting it. I like that.
Yeah, I know.
We could be.
I'm just trying to get those YouTube views.
There you go. That's everyone's trivia, yeah?
That's it.
Yep.
How are you guys feeling about ratings on this one?
I didn't really care for this episode that much. It wasn't... There was some funny moments and some quotable moments, but overall it was kind of sad and not really that funny. I'm only giving it a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. Out of what?
Paper mache heads.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan either. I give it a 2 hole punch out of 5. And those two hole punch papers, though, that's just, it's ridiculous.
They are ridiculous.
And,
I didn't hate this episode. I feel like it had a lot. It had some good bits in it, small, but still not. You know, I didn't hate it. I am gonna give it a 3 out of 5 smashed pumpkins.
Do you guys ever hear the song? What if the guy from Smashing Pumpkins lost his car keys?
No.
No. Who sings it?
Stephen Lynch sings it.
Oh.
Huh. It's funny. Stephen Lynch eventually went on to play Bobby Hart in The Wedding Singer on Broadway. And I was very proud of
him.
I didn't know The Wedding Singer was on Broadway.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen it, but I would love to.
Is that the film with, like, Adam Sandler in it or something?
Yes, that is Adam Sandler's greatest film.
Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, once again.
Well, once again. Power couple.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Adam Sandler on Netflix again recently.
Yeah, there's another show up. Anyway,
I haven't watched it.
We're on tangent.
I don't know if I will.
Probably not. I couldn't even handle the cobbler or whatever it was called.
I haven't tried. That one does interest me, though.
Do you have a rating, Justin?
It was a mediocre episode. Yeah. So I was going to give it a 3, mm-hmm. but it's a Halloween episode, and Halloween gets a bonus point. So it's a 4 out of 5 Adam Sandlers.
Adam Sandlers.
Adam Sandlers.
Just out of nowhere.
You really have to grade him on a curve, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't not enjoy this episode, but it wasn't the best thing I've ever seen. So I think I'm going to stick right in the middle and say 2.5 out of 5 brownie tins that Pam brought in.
That's not chips and dip.
We did the same category. All right. What is that?
Oh, man, you guys made this complicated for me.
Did we?
So you, our official threat level podcast rating for this episode is 2.8 two-hole punch paper mache Adam Sandler pumpkin brownies.
I love pumpkin brownies.
Smashed pumpkin brownies.
Smashed pumpkin brownies.
Very good. Well, that's our lowest awesome. Yet, probably, right?
No. What was the one?
Oh, the basketball game.
The basketball episode was our lowest, I think.
I mean, I don't think we did the official ratings at that time, but if we did, that would definitely have been the lowest.
Maybe for the end, maybe for our season 2 finale podcast, I'll go back through and calculate stuff and figure out. No promises, so Madison, edit that part.
Yeah, way to commit.
Anyway, so yeah, that brings us to the end of the discussion of episode 5 of season 2, which was Halloween. Next time, it's season 2, episode 6, which is The Fight. So that should be interesting. And I think we get some nice Pam-Jim tension, no?
Ooh, some weird tension.
Some dumb tension.
Yikes.
Already had some Pam-Jim tension.
I mean,
get ready
this
for
whole
that
show's
dumb tension.
Just
and a quick peek of Pam's pasty white stomach.
Hey, now. There are many, many pasty white people listening to this. And talking.
Hey, we are one of them. We are two of them.
We are four of them.
We are four of them.
On that note, thanks for listening. As Justin said earlier, if you want to send us a tweet, it's at @TL_PCast, or you can shoot us an email at gmail. At threatlevelpodcast@gmail.com. Just find us on
Gmail. @gmail.com.
So thanks, and if you want to stick around, then we'll talk about some... Oh, we'll do... What do you call it, Madison? Late night?
The
after hours.
After hours. After dark. The podcast after dark.
All right, so...
Although, do any of us besides Jamie actually have a shout-out?
Send the kids to bed.
So this is the part where we typically give a shout-out. Everyone else is kind of failing in this department at the moment.
No, I got one.
Okay, good.
I'll go first.
I got one.
Okay, well then most of it. It's just Madison that's failing then.
And Bethany.
Yeah.
And Beth.
I'll
just go ahead and
Madison's
give my shout
joke.
Out first.
I already won. I won the game of the icebreaker though, so I'm breaking even tonight.
There you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, the thing I'm gonna shout out right now is the season 2 of Attack on Titan.
Oh, I haven't started it yet.
I'm not going to mention anything.
Give it away.
But so it's just started up on Hulu, so you can watch episodes that come out weekly. And it's nice to finally have a continuation. I know that there's, like, you know, a manga or something that exists, but who has time to read? Not me. So
anime is way better.
Yeah. So not as good as the live action film, I hear, Justin, but...
Oh my gosh.
Don't. Solid stuff.
Just don't.
But anyway, so that's
So do you remember that time that we were freezing in a Sub-Zero theater to watch some ridiculous movie? I heard that only the first episode was available on Hulu, and then it moved to some other weird...
I watched a couple, so...
...video provider. Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's still coming out. I mean, Hulu kind of... Well, at least with some networks like CW, Hulu apparently, like, cut contracts or something, so... those shows aren't appearing anymore. But I think Attack on Titan's still on there.
Okay.
Cool. What's your shout-out then, Justin?
Is the second season... Like, does it feel the same as the first season?
Yes, in that it's the beginning and it's a bit slow still. But we're just now getting to some, like, fighting and stuff. Which is what's... What do they call them?
Omnidirectional maneuvering gear or whatever.
Yeah, when they're using the maneuvering gear.
The
like,
3D maneuvering
yeah,
gear.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, those are always really fun moments when they're actually fighting and stuff. But we're learning a lot of interesting things, and it's definitely worth watching.
Cool. So, my shout-out, I'm just going to shout-out what I've been playing recently, and that's Mega Man Battle Network for the Game Boy Advance. So Mega Man Battle Network is like kind of an RPG spinoff of Mega Man, but the battle system's really cool because it's like this mixture between action and turn-based.
Okay.
So there's like each side of the field is divided into 9 squares, and so you can move between those 9 squares, and you're like shooting at the enemies back and forth. But every couple of seconds, you can like choose to have which attacks. So it's a cool way to transition Mega Man into like an RPG series. And so I've been playing that, and it's really, really fun.
Cool. That sounds interesting. I've not played anything Mega Man, but...
If you haven't played anything Mega Man, I would highly recommend one of the greatest games ever made, Mega Man Legends.
Okay.
It is the other RPG Mega Man, only it's like an action RPG. Think Kingdom Hearts, okay. But obviously you're Mega Man, so you're shooting. Right. Actually, a but better comparison would be The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Ooh.
It is very important to know, when you're playing Mega Man Legends, this game came out before Ocarina of Time.
Oh.
So all of the great things that people talk about in Ocarina of Time was done better before that even came out in Mega Man Legends.
I mean, it sounds like you're trying to knock Ocarina of Time. I don't know how I feel about that.
If you played Mega Man Legends, you'd be like, you are so right, Justin. I can't believe I wasted all that time saying that Ocarina of Time was the most beautiful transition to 3D.
Well, maybe this fall I'll play it. We will see. Cool. That sounds interesting, though. Very cool. Subi, you had a shout-out?
Yeah, I'll shout out a movie I've seen about 101 times now, Terminator 2. It's... It's available on Hulu, and it's expiring real soon.
Ooh,
so
get your watch. You know,
yeah, so get it while it's hot. It really holds up.
Okay.
And you don't have to watch the first one to follow what's going on. And it's the special effects are really good. They hold up really well. They're very inventive. A lot of great characters, great action sequences. And... it's a lot funnier than I remember it. Like, I didn't have a sense of humor when I was a kid. So.
Does he say in this one, "I'll be back"?
I'll be back. Yep.
Okay. Good.
Yep.
Is it only said in this one, or was that like a trademark in the first one too?
I don't think he said it in the first one, because in the first one he's evil. So I don't know why he would say that. So
you spoilers. Don't want him. It's not like at the end he dies and then he's like, "I'll be back."
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
and then he was back. Yeah. Did you see the newest? Wasn't there like within the past 5 years a Terminator film released? I mean,
yeah, but I didn't watch that one.
Okay.
He only watches Terminator 2.
I've seen Terminator 3 too.
Oh, sorry.
See, once you get to threes though, sometimes that starts crashing.
Isn't that the one where he like melts?
No.
He's like a liquid.
He's Alex Mack.
Yes.
Alex Mack.
Terminator.
Are you correcting me on
yes!
Terminator?
Am I right, guys? Like Terminator 3, Terminator, he can change into like a liquid.
I can see where you would be confused between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Alex Mack.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Alex Mack was a teenager who was in like a chemical spill or something, and then she could turn into
and
a liquid
getting
a silver puzzle.
Leukemia.
No,
instead of getting
I'm
what?
Right about
to this. Slip under closed doors.
And that's really all she can do.
Who were the bad guys that she was fighting against?
I don't.
The people who are trying to like capture her to study
there
her.
There is a liquid metal villain in Terminator 3, but in Terminator 2 has the original liquid metal villain.
Okay.
But there is a guy who turns into liquid.
Well, in Terminator 3, she's a woman, so.
Whatever.
At the risk of ostracizing myself, I haven't seen any Terminator films.
Me neither.
Well, the second one is definitely the best one.
But do I need the background from the first?
Yeah, the first one's kind of... I think I've seen parts of it, or I have a vague idea of what's going on.
Okay, but I don't
need
to know.
Go with the second.
Okay.
Yeah.
If tomorrow I walked outside and a future me was waiting on the porch and said, "Justin, I am you from the future, and you have never seen any Terminator movie," I would not be surprised.
I'm going to have to agree with that one. I think what we should do is write ourselves letters, send it to ourselves somehow 5 years in the future, open it like a time capsule, and it'll say, "Did you watch Terminator 2? And the response will be, "Oh, shit."
Put a Google Calendar reminder.
Anyway, cool. So Terminator 2.
This isn't really a shout out, but I just got word that Life Size 2 is in the works, starring Tyra Banks.
Oh my goodness.
Does anybody remember that movie with Lindsay Lohan and Tyra Banks?
Of course. Is it going to be also just a Disney special film?
It's coming out holiday season of 2018, and Tyra Banks is coming back to star as Eve.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think Lindsay Lohan will be back. Wait, they'll have to find a ditch she's lying in to drag her out of.
Didn't Lindsay Lohan's dad get with Eve or something?
Yeah, yes, he did. Wait a minute. What? Yeah, that's right, because she got changed back like forever into a human from a doll, and her dad totally got with her.
That is weird.
He totally tapped it.
You know
what
we really need is a smart house too.
Oh my, yes we do. And a 3 and a 4 and a 5.
Wasn't Eve the name of the girl on Pixel Perfect?
I don't remember that film.
No. Wait, was it? I don't know. It could be. They weren't like... Life Size wasn't a DCOM, was it?
It was, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Stars Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, but like
and
she was...
Tyra.
They get like nobodies to star in DCOMs.
Hey...
Okay, back to Terminator 2. if a future Justin, if a future version of you came up to you and asked you about Terminator 2, if you had watched the movie, you would understand the implications of that. Like the fate of the world is in grave danger, and only you can save it. And Terminator 2 would have been your guide.
Also, are you telling me that if you woke up and the future you was standing on your porch, you wouldn't be a little bit surprised by that?
I guess. I mean, I guess, to be honest, I would be a little taken aback.
Just slightly.
But then when he started, talking about Terminator, I'd be even more taken aback. I think I'd be like, how do I know that you're the future me? I would never talk about Terminator.
Back to DCOMs. The girl who plays on Pixel Perfect is named Loretta.
Oh.
Not Eve.
I thought that Phil of the Future, whoever it was, named her like some acronym.
No, Loretta is her name. Loretta.
He named her Loretta? Like, is he 80 years old?
Loretta.
Shout out to all the Lorettas listening. Thank you.
We love your name. It's very classic.
I am a sucker for all the classic names, so.
I like older names.
Yeah.
Gertie.
Yes.
Geraldine.
These are the worst names.
Clementine.
Geraldine sounds like
aubergine.
Like a condiment.
Madison, do you have like a shout out?
Cheese.
Had a nice bologna and Geraldine sandwich.
Ew. I don't even want to imagine what that even means.
I don't.
I spread Geraldine on my sandwich.
Do you like the name Alberta?
That's my grandmother's name. Oh, you know that.
That's not what I asked.
Alberta. I only like it all in caps.
Yeah. I don't think there's any other way to talk to me if you're Alberta unless it's all in caps.
Uh-huh. Like, I think her computer is just permanently stuck on caps lock and she can't figure out how to turn it on.
Shout out to Alberta who's listening to this.
Shout out to Alberta who has no idea what a podcast even is.
Do you think old people have problems with caps because, like, they write in all caps and so it looks weird to them when they write in lowercase letters, when they type in lowercase letters?
My dad definitely writes in all caps.
My grandmother's handwriting is also
old caps.
A lot of old
people
do, it's
weird. Yeah. I just said my grandmother's handwriting is also old caps. I meant
old caps.
I meant all. And also old.
But old as well.
Kids these days can't even write words. Madison, did you come
like her U's or V's?
Yes, she actually is writing from like circa 50 BC.
Shout out to Alberta, we are sorry.
Madison, do you have a shout out?
Okay, JB, you keep bringing up the fact that I don't have a shout-out.
I know! This is, like, the fourth time he's asked you.
Are you going to shout something out, or what?
Well, I don't!
I didn't want people to talk over you in case you had come up with
one. All I've done this week is work overtime because our workload has been insane. I've done nothing new.
Shout out to we're working overtime.
Yeah, shout out to that extra money.
Shout out to downsizing.
Shout out to that guy who killed himself outside your office.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Steven Stevens.
Bringing down the house.
That was so, yeah. That was an unproductive afternoon.
Oh my god. Well, I'm not
sure. That's why you're
that's
like.
That's why I have so much work right now.
It's all his fault.
On
they just
note.
Magically work harder.
We'll end.
No, they have to.
We'll end on
for all the work they missed when they were watching the movie.
We'll end on that note with our dear pal Steven Stevens and.
Wait, no, Bethany didn't shout something out.
You did. She shouted out.
No, she specifically said that was not a shout out.
But then I specifically said that I did not have a shout out. So thank you for bringing it.
You have a shout out. You
the only one.
Jamie, do you want to ask me 3 or 4 times?
Hey, Beth, do you have a shout out?
No.
How about now?
No.
Huh. Okay.
So
I'm
for clarification.
I'm going to shout out Bethany for also not having a shout out.
Yeah, I'm going to shout out Madison.
All right, on that note, I'm going to shout out the end of this podcast episode. Okay. So, again, thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to contact us if you'd like. Yeah, so we shall see you on the flip.
Itty flip.
The flippity flip.
Bye.
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 Everyone.
Bye.